Blog Talk Radio.
If you're deep in the ocean or high on the mountain, Lord, my worship will chase you. My one desire is to never be too far away. Draw me close enough to touch you. I want to touch you. Whoa. If you're deep in the ocean, high on the mountain, Lord, my worship will chase you. My one desire is to never be too far away. Draw me close to touch you.
Here's my heart of worship. I give it to you.
finally were able to pause it. Praise the Lord, everyone. Can everyone hear me? We hope that you can. We're going to go ahead with the show. We are having technical difficulties off and on, so if we get stuck, just pretend like we're going on, like it's not happening, and bear with us. We have an awesome show for you today. Naima Johnston Bush is in the house, and I'm really praying that she can hear me. Naima, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, good. And so we're not going to belabor this. We have some awesome things happening at Love, but we will tell you about them at a later date, due to the fact that it is already 4:05 in Florida, and I'm not sure whether Naima got something planned for the evening, but we don't want to tie her up because of different technical difficulties, so we're going to turn the floor over to her, and whatever God has given her, we do want her to testify because she has an awesome testimony. And, of course, if she feels like singing, she knows she can do that too. Whatever the Lord leads her to do, we're just going to turn this floor over to her, and we want her to take her time and take her liberty. Ladies and gentlemen, Naima Johnston Bush.
Well, grace and peace. Thank you, Sister Sophie, for having me on. I truly, truly count it a privilege and a blessing, and I know we've been trying to get together, and there have been technical difficulties, and you know, it feels like 2016 has been a year of technical difficulties, but God is still on the throne, and nothing has caught him by surprise, and for that we are eternally grateful and honored that he has us right there in the palm of his hand. And for those of you who don't know me, well, before I even start, let me just open up with a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to speak your word and to be an encouragement to your people. We ask, oh God, that you would be glorified. We lift you high, oh God. We lift you high so that all men might be drawn unto you. And let something that said encourage someone. Let something that said just lift them up, lift up their countenance. Let something that said tonight reassure them that you are in control of every situation and every circumstance. Lord God, we just bless you. We honor you. We ask for a supernatural blessing on the hostess of the hour, Father, that you would just bless and touch her ministry, cause it to go to all the ends of the earth for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, for those of you who do not know me, just a little bit of a background. You know, I have a number of testimonies, like we all do. You know, testimonies change as we experience life in Christ. You know, first we have our initial testimony where we get saved, and I could tell you about that. I could tell you about how, you know, my mom became a Christian when I was about 14 years old, and that caused, you know, a massive rift in our family because we went from being one kind of way to all of a sudden my mother praying and trying to shape us and mold us in another kind of way, and that caused a lot of friction. But the prayers of the righteous availeth much, and I could tell you the testimony of how, you know, when I got into graduate school, I got involved with violent a man, and he threatened to kill me and hide my body, and nobody would ever find me, and how that situation and my mother's prayers pushed me to the point of crisis where I then called out to the Lord and said, you know, I know there's got to be more to life than this. I don't know what it is, but there's got to be more. And, you know, the Lord brought me around and opened my eyes, and I was able to accept him as Lord and Savior and ask him to lead me and guide me in my everyday life. And then, you know, there's the testimony of getting out of graduate school and looking for a job and not being able to find one for a year. And the Lord spoke to me one day, and he told me to go and walk the land up at this college that I really had always wanted to work at. And so I went up there and I walked the land and I prayed over it in the middle of the night. It was really, really cold. You know, it was in Ohio and it was, I believe it was January, and I had graduated 6 months before that and hadn't had a job and was walking around just praying. And it wasn't instantaneously, but 5 months later, I found myself getting a job there that I wasn't even qualified for, but God opened the door, you know, with double for my trouble, just like, you know, he did for Job. So, you know, that's another testimony I can tell you about how, you know, from the time that I worked as a professional I worked as a professional in higher education for many years, and he told me to quit my job and to go into full-time ministry, and I did that, and then told me to move to Nashville, and I did that, and I was single for 16 years, praying and waiting on a husband for 16 years, and when I was obedient and made that move to Nashville, I met my husband, and I just have testimony after testimony of God's goodness and his faithfulness, and I have testimonies of when the Lord, you know, pulled me out of trouble, I made a bad choice and, you know, his grace covered that choice. Or sometimes I made a bad choice and he held my hand as I walked through the consequences of that choice. He's always been faithful. But the testimony that I have right now, that I'm living out right now, is probably the most challenging one that I've ever faced. I've done full-time ministry for many years, since 2002, I've been in full-time ministry. And I traveled the country, singing, teaching, you know, trying to do everything that, you know, I believe that the Lord laid out for me to do. And I didn't always get it right. You know, I fell quite a bit, and he's always been faithful. But, and I've always struggled with my weight. And I share this because I believe that, you know, somebody will hear this and they'll be like, okay, you know, this is exactly what I needed to hear today, because that's my prayer. I've always struggled with my weight. That's always been an area that I have been extremely weak in, and, you know, lost weight and gained weight and lost weight and gained weight, and knew, you know, to be able to do everything that the Lord wanted me to do, I knew I needed to be in better shape. Well, last year, at the beginning of last year, the Lord spoke to me and he told me, you know, if you don't get this weight thing together, it's going to take you out. You know, it's going to take you out in 5 years. It's going to take you out if you don't get this weight together. And I was so afraid when I heard that, not afraid to die, but afraid to die, you know, without fulfilling his purpose and his call on my life, you know, fearful that, I could never get myself together enough to be submissive to his perfect will in this particular area, because anything that rules you, if you're not ruled by the Spirit, you know, you are out of order. You're just out of order. And that was an area of my life that I always struggled with. Sometimes I was, you know, in order, sometimes I wasn't. And so I took that to heart and started to try to work on losing weight and spending time praying about it. But in the midst of that, I also began to recognize that there were some changes occurring in my body. I got extremely tired and I couldn't eat very much. And I had prayed, which I always tell people, be very careful what you pray for, because I believe that, you know, you can pray what I like to call dangerous prayers. And I had prayed and I had asked the Lord to take the taste out of my mouth for certain foods. And then all of a sudden, I would eat some stuff and I would get extremely sick. I just would just bring it right back up. And so I had been diagnosed with diabetes and with high blood pressure. And so I couldn't get my diabetes in control. And they had me on all these different medications and I was swelling up and I was getting sicker and sicker. And no doctor the entire time, no doctor caught it. They never caught what was actually really going on with me. In February of this year, we had our busiest ministry year to date. There were 29 days in February, this last February, because it was a leap year. And when I say we, I'm talking about my husband and I, we probably had 28 29 engagements. I mean, there were some days we had two, three things back to back to back. I mean, it was a crazy, crazy month. And at one point we drove from Palm Springs, Florida. Now we live in Jacksonville and Palm Springs is about 3 hours away. So we drove from Jacksonville, Florida, Palm Springs, and then we drove from Palm Springs all the way to, Lake Charles, Louisiana overnight. And by the time we got there, I was so sick and so swollen that all I could do was minister and then get in the bed. You know, John would get me where I needed to go to kind of prop me up, and I would do what I needed to do, and then I'd get back in the bed and I couldn't eat. And then my stomach began to swell up. And by the time we got back here to Florida, by March 2nd, my stomach had swollen up so hard and it had turned hard and I couldn't walk. Like, I would get out of the bed and almost fall. And I said, you know, it's time, we have to go to the hospital. We had been believing for healing. We've been praying for healing. We thought it was so many different things, you know, in the back of our minds, we were praying that maybe I was pregnant. And, cause that's something that we've been married for 6 years and we've been praying for a child and that hadn't happened. So we were hoping that maybe in the back of my mind, I was just pregnant and, you know, they were going to take care of whatever needed to take. I just needed rest and bed rest. And they, you know, that was it. But when we got to the hospital, they did a CAT scan. They were like, well, you're not pregnant. And they did a CAT scan and they admitted me. And then the doctor came in and the doctor told me that my liver was dead. And that was his exact words. He said that my liver was dead, but God. It doesn't matter what the doctor says, but God. And I looked at the doctor and I said, how could my liver possibly be dead? I said, you know, you can't live without your liver. And this doctor, I guess, you know, in modern terms, you would probably call him a quack, because he said, well, of course you can. And I was just like, what are you talking about? You're crazy. And finally, he said, well, the liver specialist is going to come in and talk to you. And the liver specialist came in and told me that I had non-alcoholic cirrhosis of the liver. And they weren't sure why. They said, you know, maybe it was because of the weight, because I had been heavy so many years. It was fatty liver disease, which is what people have usually before they have cirrhosis of the liver. And they said, maybe it was that, or maybe I have some rare genetic disorder, or maybe I have an autoimmune, you know, disease. And I remember being so broken because I when somebody said cirrhosis of the liver to me, I had uncles who had cirrhosis of the liver, and cirrhosis of the liver to me meant death. You know, that was a death sentence. And I laid there and I think I was afraid. I won't lie and say I wasn't afraid. I was afraid, but I couldn't really comprehend why this was happening to me, because I didn't drink. I have family members who drink a lot, you know, and they're not serving the Lord. And so that made no sense to me. And then I thought about, you know, my family, and what if I had to leave my family behind, you know, because I didn't have any answers. All I knew was God was faithful. And John called my mother, and my mother came flying out from New York, and she was there within 24 hours. And I praise God. You know, I'm getting emotional as I think about it now. I praise God for a praying mother and a godly husband, because if it hadn't been for them, if the Lord hadn't used them, I don't know what would have happened to me. Yeah. So what winds up happening is I stay in the hospital, and they put me on some water pills, and they tell me that I'm going to have to follow up with the specialist, but I can't see the specialist I'm seeing because I didn't have insurance, which was fine because I didn't like that doctor anyway. And they said that I was going to have a procedure done where they were going to have to go in and drain the fluid off of my abdomen. And so they wheeled me in. They wheeled me in for the procedure, and the ultrasound technician got the machine out, and she, you know, got me all ready because they need to find exactly where the water was, you know, the fluid was, so they could drain it properly. And so she's fumbling with this machine, and she can't, you know, find anything. And then she calls her friend in, and her friend is fumbling, and, you know, the two technicians are fumbling. They can't find anything. They're like, well, okay, and then they hang the machine up. And she's like, okay, we're going to send you back, you know, upstairs. And I said, well, you know, what happened? And she said, you have no fluid on your stomach. There's no fluid in there. There's nothing that we can do because there's no fluid in there. And I knew that God had heard my prayers because I did not want to have, oh, sometimes you have to say it again so you can remind yourself how faithful he is. I didn't have to have that procedure done because God had heard my prayers and he had delivered me. And they brought me back up to the hospital, up to my room, and they released me later on that day. And I remember I had to get all this medication because, like I said, I had diabetes, I had high blood pressure, and some doctors believe that the medication that I was on had actually damaged my liver. And I was on very popular diabetic medication. Most people are on it. It's called metformin. So if you're on metformin and you're listening, if you don't hear nothing else, you make sure that your doctor is checking your liver and your potassium levels if you have high blood pressure, because all the potassium had leached out of my body, and that can kill you. That can physically kill you if you have no potassium in your body. And so that was the main reason why I had to stay in the hospital, the fluid and the fact that I had no potassium in my body. So they were pumping me with potassium. And we got out, and they had changed all my medications because my liver couldn't process these medications anymore. And my mother, bless my mother, she came back and she said, you know, I've been doing some research, and the liver is the only organ that can regenerate itself. She said, so we're not going to listen to the report of the doctors. We are going to listen to the report of the Lord, and we are going to go forward, and we're going to pray. But faith without works is dead. So we're going to come up with a plan, and we're going to attack this thing, you know. And so the plan that she came up with was basically people always want to know now. They always ask me how I lost so much weight. The plan that my mother came up with was a plant-based diet. She had done all this research, and a plant-based diet was the best diet that I could be on at this time. So I already couldn't eat a lot of things because I had been sick. My little dog is scratching on the door. Now she's looking at me. Are you coming in? Anyway, and so I was on this. She put me on this very strict diet of, you know, lots of smoothies, lots of radishes, lots of kale, blueberry, bananas, salmon, a lot of fish, you know. And I got stronger. You know, I spent about a month laid out on the couch, and it was hard. You know, it was really, really hard. It wasn't hard. Eating differently wasn't hard because at that point I had began to see that I needed to make the change, and I wanted to live. You know, I wanted to fulfill the call of God on my life. And when I finally got into a regular doctor, we got insurance, and I got into a doctor, I was told that, and this is how good and faithful God is. She said, you know, most of the people never make the changes that they need to make. So most of the people who have cirrhosis of the liver within 5 years, because they never make the changes that can sustain their life. And so I was just so overwhelmed, because if you remember at the beginning of the story, the Lord had spoke to me before I even knew I had cirrhosis of the liver, and said, you know, if you don't get this together in 5 years, you're going to be gone. So God was preparing me even then, even though I didn't realize it, I didn't know it. God was preparing me even then to deal with this. My word for the year, you know, every year I come up with a word, and my word for the year was courageous. You know, I wanted to be courageous because I'd always wrestled with fear. And so here I was in a place where I had no choice but to be courageous. And I discovered that being courageous was not necessarily not being afraid, because, you know, so often we hear fear is a sin. We hear fear is a sin, but I believe God gave us a healthy fear. You know, it's one of our emotions. Sometimes you should be afraid. There's some things you should be afraid of. It's when you get caught up and locked up, and you allow a spirit of fear that is sent by the enemy to keep you from doing what God has called you to do, then it's a sin. And so I got my strength back, and, you know, we had to cancel all of our ministry events for about 5 months, and I got my strength back, and I started walking, and I started working out, and the weight just began to come off, and I struggled, though. I struggled a lot, and it was there were a lot of challenges. When we finally went to the doctor, at one point I ran out of my diabetes and high blood pressure medicine, and I was without it for a couple of months, and I went into the doctor, and they took all their tests, and she said, well, you know, your blood sugar and your pressure is normal, so we don't need to put you back on these medications. So the Lord, he healed me right then of, you know, the diabetes, and he healed me of the high blood pressure. And I know some people who are not believers, they'll say, well, you did that by the changes that you made. But it was his spirit that gave me the strength to make the changes that I made. If it hadn't been for his power, I never would have done that. And that's not even necessarily true, because I know people who make the changes and still struggle with their pressure and with their blood sugar levels. So I know that God healed me. So, you know, that was two times that he showed up. He showed up when I had to have that procedure, then I didn't have to have it any, and he showed up and I didn't have to be on that medication anymore. So God was just so faithful to me, you know, just so incredibly faithful to me. And after that, I mean, I know this is a long, kind of long story, but I want to get it out because I want to make sure that I'm encouraging somebody, because I know somebody is dealing with this issue. It seems like people are always dealing with issues of health, and it isn't always, you know, your physical health. Sometimes it's your mental health or your emotional health. They're all of that. We finally got in to see a specialist, a liver specialist, and that in and of itself was such a battle, because it was mix-ups with our insurance, and then we had to have a referral, then the referral was canceled. I mean, it was this ongoing thing. So I was diagnosed in March, and I didn't get in for the referral until August. And when I went in August, at that point, I had lost probably maybe 50, 60 pounds. And the doctor told me that the kind of liver disease I had was called compensated liver disease, which meant that my liver was functioning. It was doing everything it needed to do, and that there was nothing to do but watch it. You know, she's like, you know, a liver can last anywhere from 2 years to 8 years. We can't do anything but watch it, because the only cure for cirrhosis of the liver is a liver transplant if your liver doesn't regenerate. And they don't want to talk about regeneration, because apparently it doesn't happen that often, even though it can happen. And so what I have been praying for and believing for is a creative miracle in my own body. But God has been beyond, and I know I keep saying this, you know, this is my theme. God has been beyond faithful in this situation. And every time I get down, he shows up to remind me that his word is true. And this, even this interview is a moment to remind me how faithful he is, because yesterday, I'm only human. You know, I know sometimes we think that people get on and they're ministers, and so they got it all together and they don't have any problems or issues and they rock solid in their faith. But just yesterday, I was weak, because in this whole process, you know, there have been things that have come up. You know, it came up later that I had an enlarged spleen. You know, nobody had said that. Nobody said you had an enlarged spleen. They just said you had cirrhosis of the liver and gallstones. So then it came out, you know, that I had an enlarged spleen. Then it came out that I had anemia. Then it came out that I had fibroids. Then it came out that I probably, what the doctor said was that I probably was infertile. I'd probably never be able to have children. So it was all of these things that were happening. And then, you know, one of the things that I have not shared with a lot of people is that all my hair fell out because of the potassium deficiency. And, you know, I'm a sister. I'm a black woman. You know how some black women are about their hair? I'm one of them sisters. You know, I'm not vain about a lot of things. But, you know, my hair was my thing, and I lost my hair, you know, and so I had to sit on the couch and wrestle with the Lord and watch him break me all the way down, allow me to be all the way broken down and live in this Job season for him to open my eyes to what he wanted to do. See, I had a vision in my mind of what my ministry was supposed to be and how it was supposed to go, but he had a totally different plan. And so in that time, he spoke with me, and he said, you know, I really want you to encourage others. This is your time to use the number one gift that I gave you. You know, I thought that my number one gift, my calling was to sing, but actually it's to encourage, to build up, to edify God's people, to remind them of who he is and what he can do. And so in all of this, you know, everything that we've faced, my husband and I've seen God's hand. I've seen him provide, you know, down to the last dollar when we thought that, you know, it was over. The last dollar showed up. I mean, it's been all kinds of things, and he has totally reworked my ministry, changed the name, changed the purpose. And so I'm living right now, you know, according to his will, which is to be a refreshing, you know, to others. And I still, like I said, struggle. Just yesterday, you know, I was dealing with, you know, the thought that I was never going to be a mom, and even that is not necessarily true, because my husband and I had always planned to adopt, but you know, God did it for Sarah, and he did it for Hannah, and he did it for Elizabeth, and if he chooses to, he'll do it for me. You know, if that's his will, he'll do it for me. Doesn't matter that I'm 45. He'll do it for me. I have seen him move in some very tiny ways. One of the first things that we started to do when he told me that I wasn't going to be traveling as much over the next year or so, and that to move a lot of my ministry online. And I started to host this monthly prayer meeting, and the very first one we had, a good friend of mine, Donna Lee, got on, and she sang this song. I'd never heard the song before. It was called Healer by Carrie Jobe. And she sang this song, and I just was like, oh, my gosh, that's my theme song. You know, I need to learn that song. I need to learn it. I need to sing it. And I couldn't afford the track. The track was $10, but we just didn't have the extra $10. And then one day I was in the thrift store, and there it was on the shelf for $1, the very track that, you know, I had told the Lord that I wanted to sing with all my heart. And so I bought it, of course, and I learned to sing it. And then someone had said to me, you know, you really need to read T.L. Osborne's Healing the Sick, this book, Healing the Sick. And so I was trying to find it. You know, I went to used bookstore. I looked online. And, you know, the cheapest I could find it was $14.99. And I was just like, I don't have $14.99 to order this book plus shipping. You know, I was like, Lord, I'd really like this book. And I think it was 3 days later, I was in another thrift store, and I saw it on the shelf for 50 cents. So I know that God is hearing my prayers, and I know that he is working the situation out for my good. And I know that he is going to regenerate my liver, and I'm going to be healed. And my testimony is going to be even greater, you know, than what I'm sharing now. You know, these trials are just for this moment, you know, and every soldier needs a furlough. And I guess, you know, it was time for me to just kind of sit down for a moment. And like I said, you know, there are moments where I still get frustrated and I still get afraid. And I think about, you know, my family maybe having to live life without me at a young age, and, you know, what that would mean for them. And then I get reminded again, like I said, of all of the things that he's done so far, all of the prophetic words that have spoken, all of the people who have been praying for me and with me. And I remember that I was asking the Lord, I was like, you know, Lord, why did this happen to me? I don't understand it. It just seems so unfair. And, you know, I'm trying to serve you. Why am I the one that winds up, you know, infertile and sick and, you know, struggling financially? Why me? And I had been studying Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I've been reading them over and over and over again, hiding the word in my heart, because I want to know, I want to remember every day who Jesus is and what Jesus can do. And so sometimes the best place to find that, you know, when you're struggling to experience it live, is in his word, you know, in the gospel. So I've been reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John over and over and over again since March. And I was reading John, and I came to John chapter 9 right after I asked the Lord that question. And it's the story of Jesus when he heals a man born blind. And in John 9, chapter 1, it says, and he went along, and he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus responded, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. And the Lord said to me when I read that, those three verses, that's you. You didn't do anything to bring this on yourself. Your parents didn't do this. This is not a generational bit. No, this is not that. But this has happened so that the glory of the Lord might be revealed. And so I just want to encourage anybody who's listening now or who'll listen later on. Maybe you're going through a situation or a circumstance and you don't understand why you're going through this situation or circumstance. Maybe it seems unfair. Maybe you've tried really hard to do everything that God has asked you to do. And maybe you've fallen short. Maybe you've lived out some consequences for making some bad choices. I know I have. But God has still been faithful. He's still proven himself true. And he will continue to prove himself faithful and continue to prove himself true. And this is a situation, this is a circumstance where his glory, you know, will be revealed in you. As long as you continue to seek his face, do his will, confess, you know, when you fall short, and allow him to do whatever it is, whatever work he's doing in you, and do whatever he calls you to do at this time. Not what you want to do, what you think you should do, but exactly what he's calling you to do. And so I know that's a lot, and I've been talking for a minute, but I wanted to share that testimony. And if not to encourage anybody else, I certainly encourage myself, because like I said, sometimes you have to remind yourself. Sometimes you have to, what I like to call, build a rock in your head. There are rocks in your head. And what I mean by that is, you know, in the Old Testament, the Lord always had the children of Israel to build a monument, right? You know, he always had them gather stones and stack those stones up as a monument to what he has done, what he had done in their lives or what he had done for them. And in this day and age, you know, we don't go out and gather stones and build monuments like that to the Lord. But sometimes you need to gather stones or memories, call them memories. Sometimes you need to gather the memories and build an altar in your mind so you remember God's promises and God's faithfulness. So you have rocks in your head is what I like to call it. I preached a sermon on it once. So sometimes you have to have rocks in your head. So I would encourage you to have rocks in your head and remember, call to account all of his promises, because they are yes and amen. So that is what the Lord laid on my heart to share. And I'm going to turn it back over to Sister Sophie. And I don't know if she has some questions for me or if there are people out there who have questions or how we'll move forward from this point. But I'm going to turn it back over to you, Minister Sophie.
Well, I thank you, Naima, Dr. Naima, Minister Naima. Y'all, she's just Naima to me. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But you have an awesome testimony, and truly, I can relate to the God. I say to the God, I don't understand anything, you know, because we do have. We all face it. We all go through things where, God, I don't understand why this is happening, but God, I'm going to trust you. God, I can relate. I can truly relate. And so thank you for sharing your testimony. Now, you know I can't let you get out of here without singing. she's got to sing at least one song. But before you do, if there was any, you know, and I heard you, truly you said a mouthful, but if there was anything you would say to someone, you know, because nobody's on the line, obviously, well, we do have always have listeners that listen back, but sometimes
right.
There's nobody on the phone line. So, and our chat box is not working, so we apologize. That could also be a good thing, no trolls. But but if you were going to say anything that would encourage anybody, you know, say someone's going through this, but they don't know how to talk to someone or how to reach out to anyone, and they're just stuck, what would you say to someone in that situation?
Wow. I guess I would say,
first of all, don't be ashamed to feel the way you feel. I think so often we tell people that they're not supposed to feel a certain way. And then we like to tell them, you know, that the Lord doesn't want us to feel a certain way. I remember, and I struggled with this for a long, long time. Someone once said to me that God didn't care about my tears, that tears didn't move the Lord. And I, you know, I really believe that. And then one day I came across a scripture, and I can't remember now exactly where it is, but it said that he had taken all my tears and put them in a bottle. Now, if he's taking my tears and putting them in a bottle, obviously he's concerned about my tears, you know, and my tears do move him. Maybe they may not move him to act, because it might not be his season or his time or his will to act at that moment, but they certainly move him to compassion. You know, that was the reason why Jesus came and experienced life as, you know, our God, man, king, so that, you know, he could understand our afflictions because he experienced them. And so I would say that would be the first thing I would say. Don't be ashamed if you feel a certain way. Don't be ashamed if you're afraid or if you're lonely or if you're even if you're bitter or you're angry. I think God, he's our Father. He's our Abba Daddy, you know. And if you were mad at your real father or if you were struggling with something your real father was allowing to happen to you, you would probably tell him, you know, you would express yourself, you know, to him. And that's what God wants. He desires truth in the inward part, the Bible tells us, and he already knows. So what's the point of pretending like, you know, you're not upset or you're not angry or you're not mad? You might as well come to him with respect. Now, I'm not saying just go off, but come to him with respect and share your broken heart with him and trust and believe that he will answer in his time. And the answer may not be what you want. The answer may be my grace is sufficient for you. The answer may be wait. You know, the answer may not be exactly what you want, but you can tell him all things and he will answer in his time. And if what you need is someone to be there for you, then I guess I would ask him for that too. Because what I asked him for were, you know, I needed confirmation. I needed to know that he was hearing me. And it never came like, you know, thus said the Lord, I hear you, my child. It was just in those little things that kept happening. When I got that book, when I found that CD, it was in those little things that I knew that he was concerned for me and that he was going to keep his promises, that he is going to keep his promises. And so that's what I would tell people. I would tell people to remember that he's faithful. He is who he said he is, even when it feels like to us something totally different. We can't trust our feelings, you know. You can't go by how you feel. You have to go by what do you know. And that's how I'm trying to live right now. Because if I based it on my feelings, I'd be a wreck. I'd be rolled up in a ball somewhere, pouting. This is not fair. Instead of enjoying every moment, every second that I have, and blessing him for the ability to do so. So that is definitely, I think, what I would say. Yeah.
Amen.
Well,
oh, no, go ahead with what you were saying.
I was going to say the one song that kept coming to mind while you were testifying, and even just now, was he's been faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you know that, and I'm not asking you to sing it, but later on, if you don't know it, when you get off the phone later, go look it up. It's called He's Been Faithful.
Okay.
He's been faithful. And you know, because it talks about in my moments of fear, through every doubt, every tear, there's a God that's been faithful. And that's one of the verses. And, you know, through every doubt, every tear, you know, still.
No, you know, I don't know that one. I'm going to have to look it up.
Yeah, you got to look that one up. And then the course is faithful, God allowed it for a reason. God is not punishing you. to the one who thinks God is punishing you because of this, God's not punishing you. God loves you. You know, we just face things. And so Naima is going to sing whatever God has laid on her heart, and I'm going to send her that song. God is he's been faithful, because that's really an awesome song, and I think you should sing it. But I'll send it to you. You can sing it the next time you come on.
Okay. Okay.
Sing whatever God has given you.
Okay, well, I'll just sing, and it, you know, this is an old song. I don't even remember I know I've known it for years and years and years, so I'm sure lots of people know it. It doesn't have a lot of words. It's not very long, but it's just something that I've been singing to myself quite a bit since March, that just really encourages me in this season that I'm in. So prayerfully, it will encourage those who hear it. And like I said, I'm sure many of you know this song, but it's real simple. It's just, I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. I sent my word. I heal your disease. I am the Lord, your healer. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. I sent my son and healed your disease. I am the Lord, your healer. Gonna sing it one more time. I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. I sent my son. I healed your disease. I am the Lord, your healer. I am the Lord, your healer. I am the Lord, your healer. Amen.
Amen, amen. That is a perfect song for the season, for whatever season you may be facing. That is a perfect song. I don't know if you've ever heard this song, "The Healer's Coming Down the Road." The Healer's Coming Down the Road.
Now, I don't know that one either.
that one was an oldie. You could probably find that one on YouTube. If you can't find it, I can get it for you. I know someone who might have it. But it's songs like these. And, yeah, y'all probably guessed I grew up in church. And so there's all these, there's songs that I know from way back when I was a little kid. Won't say how old I was when I first heard it. I was a little kid when I first heard it. But it's songs like that, and then even songs that you hear years later that you don't know that you're going to need them. But it's times like the things that Naima and I have shared about today, that you really reach back and you depend on those songs, and you don't know when you're going to need them, but they're there to help you. And it seems like they just lift you up and remind you that in spite of whatever it is you may be dealing with, God's got your back. He's got your side. He's got everything you need, and everything is in his control. So we can't really, you don't need to panic. Yes, and again, we all have those moments where we're in the corner and we're crying and we just don't get it. We don't understand why all this is coming. But God is still faithful. So I'm going to ask Naima, I'm not going to ask her to sing again, so don't panic, Naima. But I'm going to ask you to pray us on out of here. You have been listening to The Fire of Love, our very special series, Testify, and our special guest was Naima Johnston Bush. We invite you to be paying attention because we don't know when we're going to come back on. I'm still recovering from my shoulder, and we've got some travel dates coming up, so we don't know when we're going to be on, but be watching, be listening. But we love you. Remember, Jesus loves you, and I do too. Dr. Naima Johnston Bush, pray us out of here, girl.
All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this time that we've had together. Lord, I pray that something was said or something was sung that will truly bless the heart and the spirit of those who will hear this. Lord, I ask right now in the name of Jesus for supernatural healing to go forth. Hallelujah. For you said in your word, by your stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. And as you have forgiven all our sins, you healed us. Lord, I thank you, hallelujah, for healing those who are in need of a healing right now, be it a physical healing, an emotional healing, a spiritual healing. Lord, your word is yes and amen. And we just thank you for your promises. I ask, oh God, that you continue to bless the work of this ministry. I ask, oh God, that you would just open up doors of opportunity for this ministry to grow and to be a witness and to be a light. Hallelujah. And that you would just continue to bless Minister Sophie as she is faithful to do what you've called her to do for such a time as this. Lord, we thank you, hallelujah, that this year, hallelujah, may have seemed to have been a year of challenge, hallelujah, but you are on the throne. Nothing is too difficult for you, and nothing has caught you by surprise. And we love you and we honor you because we know that all things work together for the good of them that love you and are called according to your purpose. And so we lift up our eyes to the hills from which cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And we rejoice knowing, hallelujah, that you have already taken care of every situation and every circumstance. We love you. We honor you. We bless you. We enthrone you. And we invite you to continue to lead us day by day. For you are our King, and we worship and adore you and you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. God bless you, everyone. Go to
God peace. Bless you.
Have a blessed evening, blessed day. And my friends in Africa, have a blessed night. We are out of here. Love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.